You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the first edition of Paco Radio here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol. My name is Nick Tavano, and I'm here today with Lou Toner, the president of Pasco Vale Football Club. Lou, welcome.
Thanks, Nick.
First show here, Paco Radio, first Pasco Vale Club show, and really excited to have you guys on board.
Yeah, we are too. We're excited to be here. It's we've been following your radio station for a while there, and a couple of the other clubs that have had shows on here, and you always look at it from afar and you think, how great's that? And then we're quite lucky. We've got an unbelievable person like Roustou Senol at the club that has helped make this happen. And from the club to him, we'd like to say a big thank you. He's just a genuine person that really is an amazing community contributor.
Yeah.
A person doesn't do it for any other reason but to give back to the community, and to be working with such a humble person like that, and to have someone like that at the club, it's been amazing for us. So, from the bottom of our heart, I mean, we've got some great sponsors, but he's definitely definitely a special person.
Oh, for sure. And for those obviously listening, this is the first ever episode. Yeah. So what we're going to do today is it's going to be almost, for those who don't know much about Pasco Vale or want to know a little bit more of Pasco Vale, almost like the beginner's guide to Pasco Vale. Yeah. Get to know the club a little bit. And then throughout the weeks, we'll start to bring some special coaches and people in from throughout the club. Obviously, let's start, Lou. Pasco Vale, what is it? I guess, tell us a little bit about the club.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to Josh outside, and, the Football Belongs series, that's what we feel our club's all about. It's watching that from afar, our story is not too much different to that, And Pasco Vale was a club that was formed by some, immigrants, we're a bit unique because we've come from just a small town or a small village, as you like to call it, in Macedonia, Yugoslavia at the time, Macedonia, and it's called Nijopoli. It's a small little town, and a bunch of guys came out here, wanted to get the community together. Michael Puljevic and Chris and the Babo family and a few more others got together and started to form a club. And they said, well, we'll do what the others are doing, and we'll start a club up. And 55 years later, here we are today. Talking on radio. From not having grounds, selling drinks out of Eskies and putting light, rope around grounds. Here we are today talking on radio about the club. So it's been a great journey.
Well, about the club itself, obviously they're NPL2 right now, but they've been in the top flight before of Victorian football, sort of yo-yo between leagues a little bit recently. Yeah. But, tell us a bit about the success of the club, sort of how high it's gotten and a little bit about what they've done.
Yeah, for many years we were in the provisional leagues and the state leagues for many a year until 2011 when we got promoted to the Victorian Premier League at the time and then become an NPL. Look, for me, I've grown up at the club, so a lot of those players in the provisional leagues and the state leagues were my favourite players of all times. Playing in the backyard, I would think I was one of those players. And that's what the club has meant to a lot of people. So for many years, like I said, we were in the state leagues and the provisional leagues. And since 2000, we started to really grow as a club. Since the year 2000, we got a real good thing happening with Moreland City Council, so we could grow, we could get some juniors. And then a couple of years there, I think it was the early 2000s, we were in the second division. We missed out on a couple of playoffs on penalties with Gianfranco and Pellizzeri coaching at the time. And then from that point in time, this is the later part of the history. And from that point in time, we got Luce Trani over in 2008 to coach the club, got promoted from the second division to the first division. Then, he went on to the A-League. And then we got Vitale and we got promoted in 2011. And, you have to mention, when you mention Pasco Vale, you have to mention Vitale's contribution to the club for many years, 10 years. And we're in the Victorian Premier League for eight, nine seasons. And we want to go back there. We believe we belong there. We believe we've got the infrastructure to go back up, stay up there. We're rebuilding our squad at the moment. We've got a youngish type of squad, a really exciting young squad. So it's pretty exciting where we're going as a club. Yeah, we've had a challenging 2-3 years for sure, but I think we're coming out of it pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there was a period when you did say you were in the top division and there were a lot of sort of big name players that people remember, you know, their sort of NPL Victoria aficionados remember, you know, the likes of Davey Van Skip and Michael Ferrante as well. He spent quite a bit of time down there as well. You know, any other names, I guess, for those that sort of would know, you know, the big names who've played there?
Look, it's, you know, when you talk about some of the best players at the club, those two would have to be definitely up there. But there was, there's a person that we've still got there at the moment who I personally myself rate as anyone, as good as anyone about at the club, you know, Adrian Tallarico, another one called Joseph Youssef. They're still at the club trying to get the club back up to where they belong. They were with us from the first division, got promoted, played many seasons there. Probably over the last, you know, all their years in the Victorian Premier League, they probably won most of the best and fairest and the runner-up because they're just unbelievable people. So they have to be mentioned at those levels. But Davey Van Skip, he was just on another planet. He could turn, you know, he was so important to the club. For those years. But, you know, before that, we had some unbelievable players too. I mean, we had a guy called Daniel Tribuzio. You know, we signed him when we were in the third division in the state leagues, and he managed to get us promoted all the way up. He was with us getting us promoted all the way to the Victorian Premier League. You know, there's many, many unbelievable players that we had at the club over the years. I mean, I remember back in the day, we had a, you know, the Lube Petrovskis. Lube Petrovski played in the National League for many years. We had Connor Pacinas coaching at the club. He was an ex-National League player. We've had just many unbelievable players at the club. You know, going back, there's a guy called Tony Centurino. Centurino used to score goals for fun. Bill Popovsky, Tony Ujanovsky. We've had some unbelievable players. For me, are at that same level as the Tallaricos, the Van Skips and what have you. Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Well, I mean, the last couple of years, I guess, it's sort of, as you said, it's been tough. And I guess the one thing that everyone remembers a couple of years ago is the situation with Hakeem. And obviously now he's back, he's playing. I was lucky enough to actually call one of your games a few weeks ago against Lang Warren and seeing him play. It's amazing to see he's back out there and sort of getting everything back on track. I guess, you know, how was that period, I guess, for the club and for yourself and for, you know?
Look, at the time, I think you're so heavily invested in it, you don't realise probably it probably did have an effect on the club. But for us, it was just about saving this person, you know. And that whole saga started from a text or a tweet, you know, that was there that was stuck in Thailand. You know, he started pre-season on the Tuesday. On the Wednesday, flew to Thailand with his wife, you know, for a bit of a honeymoon. On Thursday, he's been locked down. And then we find out that it could be extradited to Bahrain and then gone. And so there was no stopping. You know, we asked for some help. We called for some help, called the PFA, called Football Victoria. And they were unbelievable, those two organisations, you know. But it also must be said there's a lady called Fatima Yazbek and her husband at Golf Institute who are still fighting for people today. But Hakeem is lucky because he had sport behind him. Craig hopped on it and that's where it was. But there's a lot more people that aren't as lucky, you know. And sometimes you wish you could do more, but life just gets the better of you, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, that was such a big moment, not just for football, but for all of Australia. Yeah, you know, everyone was sort of rallying. You know, Craig Foster sort of, you know, as well, playing such a big part in it. And obviously such a great result in the end of that, you know, he was freed. And now he's back doing what he loves. He's back home. And that's sort of the great silver lining now out of all of it. And just we'll talk about the NPL team a bit later on as we go through it. But the team right now, NPL 2, David Schick, the coach of the side. You guys sort of in a decent position now for promotion before the lockdown hit. Yeah. Sort of tell us a bit about where that squad's placed right now and how you see yourself going for the rest of this year.
Yeah, it's a brand new squad. So we started the pre-season the year before lockdown. And it was very exciting. I mean, we kept about four or five of our NPL squad, you know, a couple of younger boys, you know. And we've signed some really exciting young talent, you know, Aidan Musadaganich, Nick Hatzigiorgiou, Ali Agan's come back from a couple of knee reconstructions, and we've got some really exciting young players, good footballers, unbelievable kids, committed, you know, and we've concentrated on trying to sign players on their way up.
Yep.
Not on their way down, and that's been our motto at the moment. It's just to get players that are hungry, want careers in football, and if they can help us get to that level, that's what we really wanted. David Schick is a young coach, but he's a very good coach. There's no doubt about it. He's got the world at his feet, so to speak. He's starting his journey as a senior coach. I mean, he did a bit with Hume, but you know, this is probably one where he's trying to continue going forward. He's very modern. The football we're trying to play is a modern type of football. That's where we see the club going forward. And like I said, we do want to get promoted. That's our goal. That's our aim. We've got some really good players, you know, like Joseph Youssef, as I said, Adrian Tallarico. You know, you can't forget Attila Offley, who's starting to score goals, starting to find his feet. We've got a guy called Scott Lockhead. Scott Lockhead is another gentleman that's come back from a knee reconstruction who's been through the youth ranks at Celtic and Glasgow. Very good player. We've got some really exciting prospects going forward.
Well, I mean, you can't miss Attila Offley when he's playing. He's such a, you know, big character, big boy up front as well. A quick player, dynamic.
Yeah. He's also crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a bit of fire underneath him, and sometimes you need a bit of that, you know. It's a very physical league, tough league to get out of.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, if last year was a tough year for all Victorians and all people around the world, really, and obviously there was no football played, for NPL2, there was no football players, four games played in the top division, but... Yeah. I guess when you look back at last year, you know, did you guys learn a lot as a club during that period? What did you guys do throughout 2020 to sort of keep, I guess, the cogs turning and everything like that?
Well, for us, it was a bit different because the last game in terms of senior football, the last game we had played was a relegation game. We'd got relegated, you know. We just got relegated. It's the first time we'd been relegated in the club's history. You know, it did take a steady flow to get up there, but it's the first time we'd been relegated in the club's history. Where the year before, we're in final series, you know. So it was a big pill to swallow. But what we did do is we didn't wait. We quickly moved forward, you know, because what we have probably seen in the past, that if you get relegated, you can start capitulating. And you've seen some unbelievably big clubs who were ex-National League clubs playing in the second, third division, you know. And that's not where we wanted to go. So the first thing we did was make sure that we tried to rebuild that squad up the tempo with our sports science and all that type of stuff. So we invested a lot in that type of stuff, bought some more portable goals and tried to really attract players by having the best possible football program we could have, you know. So that's what we had done there. Then we did get locked down. We were looking pretty good in the pre-season. We were pretty confident where we were going. But then we lost a few visa players in the process. So you can't really replace them and what have you. But then we got locked down. So what the club did end up doing is we entered a small partnership grant with Moreland City Council, I mean, to design and to renovate our club room. And we'd just gone and done that during lockdown. So.
Yeah.
At that time, we had an old sort of, this is at Hoskin Reserve, not CB Smith.
Yep.
Hoskin's our home base where our juniors play, our women play, and our seniors train. So that's our spiritual home. What we did was we ended up renovating, did a whole new cafe, set up a whole new cafe, you know, with amazing work from volunteers, sponsors chipping in, you know, and the club tipped in roughly about $150,000 of the club's money too to get this canteen up and running. It's something that we were really uncomfortable with for a very long time, and we ended up delivering a pretty good product there. We also renovated our change rooms. We did a lot of that during COVID, so when we did come out, it was all nice and fresh and going forward. We're quite lucky from our junior perspective where we kept in touch. We didn't lose many players. So our juniors were you know, we've come out of it with the same sort of numbers. Our NPL team's junior boys still strong. We've still got the same amount of women's at the club. We've managed to keep our women's team, which is, you know, it's something where we really need to improve that side of the club. Our under-20s are still strong. So we come out of it good, you know. Obviously, financially, it's, you know, sometimes I see some of the figures that are going around. I can't understand it. But financially, it is tough because we're not a club that has a benefactor, so to speak, and you know what have you. We're self sufficient, so whatever dollar comes in needs to be dissected, which I'm sure most clubs are like that. But we don't have a benefactor, so to speak. Sometimes those situations might be a little bit easier. That's how we came out of it. So it's been good. A lot of things have come out of it. We did during COVID also get the Hoskin Reserve situation come up, you know.
Well, what we'll do is, Louis, we'll take a quick break. We'll jump into that Hoskin Reserve discussion because it's been something that's sort of lingered for a while around Pasco Vale. Yeah. And we'll come back and dive into that in just a second. You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR Football Nation Radio.
All right.
It has gone pretty quick, Lou, but welcome back here to Paco Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol, Nick Tabano and Lou Toner here for the first edition of Paco Radio. As you've just tuned in now, this is sort of the beginner's guide to Pasco Vale. If you've missed any of it, make sure you go back and listen to the podcast. That'll be up after the show. So we spoke a little about the history of the club, but now we're going to focus in a little bit about the venue. Now, I mean, yeah. Pasco Vale's spiritual home is Hoskins Reserve in Coburg North.
Yes.
And right now you're playing out of CB Smith Reserve. But tell us a little bit about the situation that's going on with Hoskins Reserve and sort of the situation really with Pasco Vale right now.
Well, with Hoskins Reserve, back in 2009, there was a master plan undertaken by Moreland City Council. Our club had started growing, there was a football club there back. You know, there was an AFL club there, was a cricket club. So we were all sort of jam packed in this one area. We had grown so much that everyone had outgrown the area. The ground was too small for an AFL club to progress. The cricket club was really struggling. It just wasn't conducive to everything. So we all sat down around a round table, had a chat, say where we're all going. We got together and the footy, the AFL club and the cricket club had gone to another reserve. Another club down the road had become defunct and I had two grounds and there's a lot more growth. So council had then entered into getting a master plan designed for Hoskins Reserve. And in 2009 it was adopted. To get funding. So these master plans start off with $0 and it was adopted to get funding. Obviously, sometimes master plans, they take a very long time to come to fruition because councils look at other places to spend money and things don't become important. However, in this situation here, we had a synthetic pitch on one of the grounds and subject to getting some funding whenever we could and get through council, obviously, through the state government. A funding application went in, got granted. Council had some money put aside for it. We were going forward to get a synthetic field at Hoskins Reserve. But at that time, some residents sort of didn't know it was happening. We had put it out on our social pages. A couple of local MPs had talked about it. But that wasn't enough consultation. The consultation was a bit too old. Under the Local Government Act, things have changed over the years. And it was deemed that the consultation wasn't done recent enough and had fallen over the funding. As a car, it was very stressful at the time because it's nothing you ever want to hear and what have you. And it was very, very, very distressing because, you know, no one was trying to do the wrong thing here. You know, we were trying to get a ground for the kids to play organised sport, which is, you know, it's sort of dying organised sport. I mean, going through this consultation process, what I have learned from actual facts that have been shown to us is that passive sport is almost catching up to organised sport in terms of the way it's going. And that's a bit frightening because kids are already getting off, you know, organised sport, and then, you know, to lose more and lose more ground and more. So we've got a big battle on our hands, sport in terms of sharing that open space with everybody. You know, it's got to be shared, but it's got to come up with a nice, reasonable solution. So with that came out a consultation process that we went through with Moreland City Council. The councils had adopted a new consultation process, and it gets a bit scary. You know, is the council going to do nothing? You know, do people want a ground there? Do they not want a ground there? So it became a bit, you know, the future of the club for me was in jeopardy. You know, and that's a real big burden to carry on your shoulders. The Moreland City Council, the councillors held their nerve. They were very good. They understood that there's two sides to every story. All 11 councillors were great. And the Moreland City Council, the staff, everyone was really good. Bent a little bit, but not too much. It was just a very evenly balanced to be able to make sure that the residents were heard, the football club was heard, the school attached to it was heard, the tennis club was heard. So it was a very good outcome. We've gone through a consultation process which was very, very traumatic in the sense that, you know, get off our reserve. This is our reserve. You know, residents were taking that approach. We took approach not to combat that. We took an approach, no, let's not play the man. Mm. Let's play the ball. And that's the approach we had taken, you know, and we'd work through the whole process. The whole club was very, very professional about it. We're very happy that our residents, that our members didn't fight back online with these people, with the residents and what have you. We wanted to work together because we want to be good neighbours, just like Like, they hopefully want to be good neighbours with us. So that's where we're all trying to come. We've gone through a consultation process, gone through the third stage now, come up with a plan with an independent consultant of what we think is great. One thing we do know out of this consultation process that was adopted at the last council meeting is that there will be a brand new reconstructed ground on the South Oval, which is the inside oval, which is going to be hybrid, a brand new hybrid surface. So council's pretty excited about that. It'll be the first fully, you know, built hybrid surface in Moreland. Hybrid surfaces are used at, like, at Amy Parks and you know, Dockland Stadium and the stadium around here. So that's pretty exciting. And it was also adopted that there will be a senior pitch on the outside with, you know, a at the moment it's an oval, but it'll be a rectangular oval with new lights and a 1.1 metre fence. So we've got two grounds that will be constantly full-size pitch, and then there'll also be the small-sided games one on the outside that will also be reconstructed to a brand-new surface and some lights, and also some other goodies in at the reserve, like an urban space area, active recreation zone, where you can play basketball, futsal, all that type of stuff, and some new tennis courts for the tennis club, and, you know, some new pathways, trees, all that type of stuff. So it's quite exciting.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And obviously, how long can we expect until this is all sort of in the pipeline?
That's a very good question. Yeah. For me, the good thing about this master plan is that there's already some money in the budget, in my opinion, because we're already getting the grounds reconstructed.
Mm.
You know, so there's already some money to kick off. The tennis club already had some money allocated to them to get some things. So I think we're hoping, and these master plans, because if you don't get them delivered within the five years, council will have to go through this consultation process again, and I don't think they'll want to go through that. So we're hoping that should be ticked off in the next 1 to 3 years.
Oh, that's good. At least hopefully now we can get this all resolved, because it's been, as you said, it's been over 10 years. You know, you've been in this sort of process. So right now, your seniors obviously playing at CB Smith Reserve, but juniors and women's are playing out at Hoskins Reserve.
Hoskins Reserve,
Okay, so at the moment, for those obviously who don't know, it's just two sort of grass ovals at the moment.
Two full-size grass ovals and one three-quarter size.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about as well about the juniors and the women's as well. Sure. So the juniors start, obviously, mini-roos all the way through to under-18s.
Yeah. We're almost 400 members at the club. This year what we've done is we've put David Chick on as our mini-roos technical director. So he's out there obviously starting to revamp the whole program, getting the coaching up to standard. You know, with Mini Roos, it's also very difficult at times just to go and get a David Chick to coach the team, or, you know, a fully qualified Nick Durbano to coach the team, you know. So we're spending a lot of time trying to coach the coaches, and then hopefully in a year to 2 years' time, the program starts to become very good, and trying to align that with our NPL program, which our NPL program, our boys' NPL program, is regarded as one of the better ones going around. We've been very successful in that program, and we want to continue to do so. It's very important for us. We're revamping the way we're doing that also. We've got a very good base to work from, but what we'd like to really do is just take it to the next level, you know. And then we've got women's. We've got five women's teams, girls and a senior women's team. That's a program we're also looking at very closely. We're trying to really ramp that up. And you know, in Moreland, there's a lot of competition for kids, you know, especially women. There's a lot of clubs that, you know, Moreland City Council, to lease a Moreland City Council ground, you have to have a women's team. Yep. So all the clubs are really ambitious with the women's program, which for us is fantastic, because the boys is a captured audience already. However, with the girls is still a developing game, you know. So
And of course, as well, you know, with the Women's World Cup around the corner, it means, you know, more young girls and just older girls want to get involved in the game if they can. And the participation rate we know around the country is fantastic. Yep. You know, we know that hasn't necessarily gotten the same results in terms of coverage and all that sort of stuff, but we know that there is a want to play. Yep. And it's good to see that Pascoe Vale definitely getting people through the doors.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with our women's program, and with Hoskin, talking about Hoskin, you know, we're looking at making that our home of women's football.
Yeah.
Because CB Smith is a shared ground. I mean, although, you know, we'd signed up for it from day one when it was in its inception, But CB Smith is a shared ground, can't get everybody on there.
Yeah.
Whereas Hoskin Reserve, we're really concentrating with the hybrid surface, with some spectator terracing that we've designed on the side, which is also part of the master plan, which we're hoping to get done in the next 1 to 3 years. The kids will be able to go there and the girls will be able to go there and feel like they're playing in a really good environment, just like the senior men's are, or just like they see, when we're in the VPL, NPL. So for us, that's very important. You know, we've got the we've got 5 change rooms at Hoskin Reserve, all female friendly. These are the things that we've invested in over the years, and now facilities shouldn't hold us back anymore. It should be just how do we get the program up to a really good level.
Yeah, for sure. And it's obviously mentioning with David Chick being part charge of the Mini Roos, there's not many coaches, I think senior coaches, that have that holistic, sort of they're in charge of almost everything in terms of having their eyes set on right down to the bottom of the age groups.
Yeah.
That must be quite special, having something like that, because you don't see it too often.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, David was working with, I can't remember, it was a football academy, Football Star Academy. That's what he did for a living, So we thought it would be important that we can get, our Mini Roos program. I think, it's difficult to make sure, when people come to training and they see the Mini Roos program and then they see an NPL program that's been running pretty strong for a few years, people look to that way and they say, I really want our program to be there. Not people, myself. I don't want to walk past the session coming to the club and cringing. It's something I really don't like. If the session's no good, it sort of infuriates us a little bit. So for us, it's important that the sessions for these kids get better. I was just having a chat with David about it today about, it's not about just the individual kids. It's about how do we get the coaches to upskill the kids as much as possible, And as a coach, you want to win and, you want to get in a situation where you want the best players. But unfortunately, they're not all, all players are at different stages.
Yeah.
So it's important that we get the coaches upskilled to get in a situation where they can then bring a player that's down here to up here and the player that's up there and start lifting the standards. And obviously with Dean Hennessy as our NPL technical director, he's got a relationship with David, so that's pretty fluid situation. They have a really good understanding with each other, and it's very important. We're quite happy where the club is going, but we're never happy because we want to have kids coming through the ranks. It's something that for the amount of success we've had as juniors, something that we really want to start going through. We're lucky to have young Nicholas Georgopoulos come through the ranks. I mean, he was coached by his dad, Nick Jobbers, who also played at the club for 1 year and he's been coaching at the club, and he's a gentleman that we'll definitely ask to come on here, and he's a high-level junior coach. We're very lucky to have him. But we want to see more of that at the club, and David knows that. And we've got a couple of kids that were juniors with us, and especially one at the moment who's just come back, young Andre Kolakowski, who's training full-time at the club with the seniors at the moment. So it's very important for us to start seeing kids coming through the ranks. We don't want to, not everyone's going to come through the ranks. It doesn't mean we're going to have, a great under-14s team today and they're all going to be senior players at Pascoe LFC. Some of them will go to Melbourne City.
Yep.
Some will fall off the face of the earth. Some of them will go to Melbourne Victory. It's just the way it is, But losing players to, some people at the club wouldn't say that they'd prefer to keep the players, but losing players to Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory, or Western United, for me personally, that's a tick for the club.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
Yeah,
because it's always still on the resume at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You look back where the development starts. If it's Pascoe Vale, then it's still an A-League club. It's fantastic.
Yeah, watching Stefan Kolakowski.
Yeah, so he's a Pascoe Vale boy.
Yeah, he's a Pascoe Vale. I mean, his father was a president. His grandfather's been involved in the committee, third generation, Pascoe Vale, Nishopole from the hometown. Full-on Pascoe Vale people, and Stefan Kolakowski is a Pascoe Vale boy, and that's for us one of the most proudest moments we've ever had. To see one of our juniors, and then he went to the NTC. Obviously, he's a very talented player, and he went to Melbourne City He came back to us, and then he signed up for Melbourne City, and the rest is history. And for us, it's an unbelievable achievement, and someone that I know that I've been to his christening. For me personally, that makes me feel great. But we've got some other great kids that have been in our club a very long time. Like in our under, we've had some kids like the, you know, the Tommy Buljubasic's, you know, the Troy Liam yeah. Sacco's, the Ethan Tosseski's. They're young kids that have come through the ranks at the club from under 10. So I'm desperate to see some of these kids to get there. But that's all up to the coach, you know.
Yeah, but what we'll do is, Lou, we'll talk a little bit about these younger kids and everything else and the seniors after the break. We'll dive into the season that's been so far, look ahead for the rest of the year and sort of how the senior team's coming along. Those listening at home, you're listening to Paco Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol.
Yeah.
You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Paco Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol. Nick Devano and Lou Toner here. Coming towards a bit of the final stretch here of our inaugural episode. We've gone through all things Paco so far in this beginner's guide. We've spoken about the history, a bit about, you know, the situation down at Hoskins Reserve, the juniors and the women's. Let's dive into the senior men's a little bit, shall we? You know, we spoke about how a couple of years ago, Pasco Vale flying finals, the unfortunate relegation in 2019, no football last year, but looking quite good this season, the position to potentially come back up. Yeah. Let's talk about the season to date. Hopefully football will be back this weekend, and it's a rivalry. It's a derby game.
It is. Moreland City, wow.
Yeah.
We've had some big derbies with Moreland City. We hadn't played them for a long time, and then round one we got drawn to play Moreland City. It's always been a derby, you know. Moreland City goes back to the days of... there's a gentleman that started our club, Michael Puljevic, you know, Uncle Mick, he used to call him because he was one of my uncles. but Michael Puljevic, he started a thing called the City of Moreland Charity Cup.
Yeah.
So the mayor of the year used to pick a charity, and all the Moreland clubs used to get together and have a tournament over the last 3 weeks. And so we built an unbelievable relationship with Moreland back in, and all the Moreland clubs. And I credit Uncle Mick, Puljevic, and that Charity Cup about creating some unbelievable relationships through Moreland City Council and giving soccer clubs actually a leg up, because at the time, you know, soccer was not, it was just like, let's just give them a ground to shut these clubs up. Whereas, you know, AFL was very strong and cricket was very strong, and soccer clubs used to just get a 6 month allocation and that's it. But Uncle Mick had a lot of vision and created things. So from that point in time, the Moreland City Charity Cup, you know, was always us and them at the time in the league. So it was a very, 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 very big rivalry back in the day. And now it's just even bigger, you know.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to the big clash on the weekend. The boys got back to training on Friday night, had a session on Saturday, had a session last night. And I must admit that the boys at the club have just been, the senior players in particular, have been unbelievable, you know. Mm. At the end of last year, we'd asked them to do some things, you know, financially for us, because the year was going to be different. They all took it on the chin like young men. They've come in, they've never whinged. They come here 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week. Whatever is asked of these kids, it's been unbelievable. So if you know, I'd like them to go up for themselves, to be honest with you, more than myself sort of in some ways, because their guys are just so committed to trying to do well for the club and their coach. It's just great to see.
Of course, and you know, it is a bit of a friendly rivalry, you'd say, with Moreland City, not so much. Been those moments in the past?
Oh, there has been. There was one moment that, you know, 1 year we were looking at getting promoted.
Yeah.
Let's just say it. I'm sure they know. And we were looking at getting promoted and we had to win. We had Gianfranco coaching at the time in Pellizzeri. You know, pretty happy. Gave Gianfranco his first senior gig, you know, and he was gone on to have a pretty good career. We had him coaching, and we needed to beat Moreland City to get into the top tier, to get into the promotion, to get top tier. It was the last game of the season, and we drew, and they were pretty happy.
Yeah.
So I think the rivalry started a bit deeper from then. It wasn't a Moreland City Charity Cup type of atmosphere, but that's great. I think that's great for football.
Of course, and the more rivalries, the better. It makes those games must see. I think, you know, you think about how this match hasn't happened in NPL for quite some time, because obviously you guys were the top tier, second tier team. And also as well, they came so close to being promoted a few years ago and lost that final, the unlosable final, it almost felt like. But it's happening now. Have you had any updates in regards to, I guess, the situation in regards to spectators? Is there any hope of potentially getting some people in?
I think I saw something today. I think I saw a message there. I don't know. I have to go through it all 100%, Nick, to be honest with you, because I've just been today at work.
And of course,
But I saw a situation where I think you could only have what you need to start a match, to get a match happening. Mm. Hopefully that's not the case, because, you know, we were lucky to host more than at home, and, you know, we did quite well on the day. You know, we were able to make some money, and we hope they can do the same, you know, on Saturday. And people are starving to go to games.
Yeah.
You know, I found this year that people are really, really happy to be back and watching local football. People have missed it. And just before the lockdown, I felt like people were starting to get back into it and starting to say, oh, it's really happening. It's going to be no disturbances in it. And then, bang, it just happened overnight. So
what happens with those few games that you guys missed? Are they going to be sprinkled in midweek fixtures to the season extend?
I believe that's the only way you can do it.
Yep.
I'm hoping, but I'd like to see the season extended by an extra week or two. Yep. I think there should be some provision for that, considering that we are in a COVID year. Or, you know, we need some real smart people, and probably smarter than me, to be able to work out how the games. But I don't think the competition should be compromised at all. I think it should be fair and even, and it shouldn't be compromised because of some time restrictions. We've got enough grounds, you know, in our game to be able to host games like that, double headers. I don't know. We just have to get smarter, like the A-League did and like, you know, the Euros are doing at the moment, you know.
Yeah, just trying to make it happen, trying to make it work because, you know, we've had no football last year. We need something to get us through. And talking about the rest of the season now, there's about halfway of the season still to go. You're in a very good position. What's the message now from David Schick been? You know, is it really now foot to the pedal? Like, we need to go now. We've got a really good chance to potentially break into the top tier. What's sort of been the message now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he hears it enough from me.
Yeah.
Without trying to come across as, you know, saying that it's our season to lose, you know.
Yeah.
We don't look at it that way. The way we look at it, we get to training, we watch training, we watch the games, and we've got no qualms, or we don't feel like we're lacking anywhere as a club in terms of the way the boys are trying, the commitment, the coaching commitment. So all those things, all those boxes are getting ticked. Where we end up, David, it is where we end up, you know. But we're confident we'll end up where we end up, and that'll be the best we could possibly have done. I don't think it'll be a situation where we'd say, oh, you know, we've stuffed it up. We should have probably worked a bit harder at the middle of the year, should have worked harder at pre-season. All those boxes have been ticked to date. So we're quite, you know, we've got strength and conditioning coaches, so the boys are prepared properly. We've got the physios always available. You know, all those things are coming important. The boys get the training. It's not that they have to worry about jumping over because there's young kids on there or, you know, the fences are down or, you know, the setup is perfect for the guys to give their absolute best situation. I wouldn't mind the ground being a bit better at Hosken, but, so we are comfortable with the work our coaches are doing and with the way the players are actually committed. So at the moment, we're quite happy exactly where we're going. We hope to get promoted. That's the ambition of the club. We believe we're an NPL club. We don't, you know, that's where we believe. That's our thinking at our club. And that's how our thinking will always be at the club because we've been there, we've had that taste and we love it.
And also as well, when you look at this league as well, there are a lot of teams in your sort of close demographic with Moreland Zebras and Brunswick City as well. Is that sense of, you know, a bit of pride that you really want to try and get above them as well, try and, you know, break free of that sort of more, I wouldn't say a Moreland bubble, that little bit of Northern bubble.
Yeah. Look, there are some strong clubs in this league, you know. I have to admit, when we dropped, we thought, okay, we can come straight back up here. But watching the league and watching the players, and there's great coaches in the league, you know, Peter Tsalakis, you know, Tangalakis, who's had a lot of experience. Yeah. You know, the boys down at Brunswick City are doing an amazing job. You know, Moreland City's coach is the most experienced coach in the league. You know, John Frankel's taken over at the Zebras. Some big clubs, you know, some clubs that have been in, you know, in the top tier. You know, they know how to win games, and we believe we're just one of those clubs. We don't believe we're better than those clubs, and you know, but we don't believe we're worse than those clubs. That's exactly where we see ourselves. But like I said, you know, Langwarrin, you came and watched Langwarrin that day. You know, those guys didn't give us an inch to
very physical team.
Very physical team. Didn't give it. The game was a million miles an hour. It was quick. It's fast. And what I have found, and I've been super impressed with, is that a lot of clubs in this league are trying to play football. Mm. You know, obviously it's probably not the same intensity as the NPL. Obviously it's not.
Yeah.
Not, you know, but it's clubs have tried to play football and it's been really good to watch. And I've been quite surprised with the quality of the league. It's been quite good. And it's a COVID year and you know, there's a lot of younger teams in there too. And as you can see by the results, teams going up and down and
yeah.
from top to ninth, tenth, there's only 3 points or yeah. 4 points in it. You know, a couple of wins in a row, you're back up there. You know, so it's a good league.
And you find yourself in the really exciting position, FFA Cup this week. You know, yes. and it's getting close towards that point where you start going, you know what, we're close to the whole Australia round of 32. And with the announcement today, you know, with Channel 10 getting the rights to the FFA yep. Cup and everything, there must be a sense of excitement for this week, you know, knowing you're getting back to it and you're that close now that you can smell it almost.
There is. Oh, look, I have to admit I'm a bit guilty of me personally myself of like, oh, just don't worry, let's win the league, you know, don't worry about the FFA Cup, you know. I think that's been a bit of the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of goes before it was the FFA Cup. We got yep. to a semi-final once against St. Albans Saints. I think it was semi or quarter-final. We were in State League 2. But the best run we've had in a Doherty Cup was in 1992.
So it's been a while.
It has been a while. And we had a team coached by also a person that is from New York, is from yep. Pascavale, born through and through, John Tolofsky. You know, he coached this team. And we had this team that had some unbelievable players. And we got to a semi-final. I think it was a semi-final or quarter-final. I think it was a quarter-final. Against South Melbourne Hellas.
Yeah.
And at the time, they had Francis Owara-Tiffi.
Yeah.
They had all those unbelievable players. And we went to play them at Bulleen, and it was a doubleheader.
Yeah.
And the game beforehand was Brunswick Juventus.
Yep.
Versus Preston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was Preston Macedonia. Yeah. And the game afterwards was Pascavale, and we were in a State League 4. Yeah. And against
arguably the best team in Australia at the time.
It was South Melbourne. It was. Yeah. You know, Trimboli wasn't playing, but they had beat us. I think they had beat us last. It was an unbelievable team. And we were at halftime, I think we were 0-0.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was something like that. And then, you know, they were just experience. And then we had a guy called Dunce Smudgevski,
okay,
who is a central defender. And he's Francis Owara-Tiffi's giving him a bit of cheek. He's giving him a bit of an elbow, got sent off, and then they ran away with the game 5. I mean, whether we were going to win the game or not. But that team that we had that year is probably one of the best teams Pascavale's ever had. You know, they're the type of team that would be down at 2-0 at a game and would win at 6-2. It was, you know, there's two strikers called Bill Popovsky and Tony Ujanovsky. They were, you know, that era, they were very good players. Between them, that scored 75 goals.
Oh, wow.
So we do understand getting that far deep, how exciting it is. But, you know, the boys and the coach, they definitely want to go as far as they possibly can. They want to hit the last 32. Whether we can do it or not, that's up to the boys. And we'll support it the whole way.
So for details for the game, I guess, you know, at that point by Tuesday, as we know, things change very quickly with this COVID environment.
Yeah.
For those listening at home, what's happening for Tuesday?
Yeah, we're playing Dandenong City.
Yep.
I think we've got to get back to them by tomorrow about playing Tuesday.
Yep.
That's a day that suits us too. So we're looking forward to going down to Dandenong City. Hopefully we can all go there.
Yeah. Enjoy the chivapi they've got down there as well.
An unbelievable club in Dandenong City, you know, who are obviously their success is they've got some great players.
Yeah.
Mickey Cholina, who I've got an absolute large amount of respect for. He's coaching the guys down there, and you know, it's going to be a really tough game.
Well, I think it'd be Mickey Cholina's first game or second game in charge or something, you know. And also as well, you know, you would see this game as almost a perfect opponent. They're struggling in NPL Victoria at the moment. Yeah. You guys are right in amongst the promotion push. Is that sort of a part of the message at the moment?
Well, they're struggling, but they haven't been pumped off the field. They've been clean every game. I mean, they've got some unbelievable players. Let's not hide the fact, you know. We understand we're going in that game. We're the underdogs, you know.
Yeah,
sure, we're doing okay in the league, but we are going in that game as the underdogs, which, by the way, that's a position that Pascavale actually likes, being the underdogs.
Yeah.
That's why we did so well for so long in that league, because I think people knew us as a hard-working, blue-collar club, and we're proud to be that club.
Yeah, and obviously as well, you know, you're going as the underdogs, you play with nothing to lose, and nothing that's the exciting part, you know. And this is the part of that FFA Cup period where you've got, you know, you've got Preston Lions that are supposed to be playing in Oakley at some point. They're also in a similar boat. There are other teams in the same league as well, and it's an exciting time, I think, for everyone involved. And because we've sort of had this COVID period, we've sort of forgotten the FFA Cup is still in this nitty-gritty stage. So it's really, really exciting times. And Lou, we're coming towards the end of it. We've got to wrap up. Anything you want to? Anyone you want to thank? Any sponsors? Anyone for everyone listening home?
Sure. Like I said, I want to thank Senol. Can't go. I also we've got many great sponsors, and over the course of this this show, we'll be displaying those sponsors. You know, but we've also got Catalano Furniture, who's been with us for a very long time, and I just want to say to all our fans, and stick with the club. Club's in the right direction. We've got some really good things. We've internally seen the Hoskin Reserve sort of victory. Having that fight and coming out of it the other end very good. We see that as a new line going forward. We've hit all our targets to this point, but we're setting ourselves a new 5-year plan, and we're really excited about where we want to go. Our juniors is actually our absolute priority, as much as our seniors. So that's where we're looking to put a lot of investment going forward, and we're excited.
Of course, and for those listening at home, Saturday back in action against Moreland City, big derby game. Let's hope Pascoval can get over the line and get a result. And then Tuesday, it'll collide with the next show as well, FFA Cup night. Yep. So stay tuned on the socials, and we'll hear a little bit more about what we've got planned for next Tuesday.
But
Big thank you, Lou, for joining us here today for the first show of Paco
Nick.
Radio. And if you've missed any of it at home, make sure you head over to our podcast platform, Spotify, wherever you get them, and catch up on the show. We spoke about all things Pascoval here, but we're going to say goodbye here. Paco Radio, Nick Tabano and Lou Toner here. Coming up just after this, Avenger Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol. On FNR, Football Nation Radio.